Because it is an opportunity and a privilege to be in your presence this morning. We know this because every time we come into your presence, we know we are set up for blessings. This morning will not be different. You are going to bless us in the mighty name of Jesus. Touch us, O Lord. Lord, we ask that every area of our lives, we encounter Jesus this morning. Every hidden area, every open area, every high area, every low area. Lord, every crooked area, every straight aspect of our lives, we ask that you encounter Jesus this morning. In the mighty name of Jesus, let the word of God stand for sure. Let the word of God accomplish its purpose in us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Just before I share this message with us, I want us to sing this song that I've given to us. Please, we are going to rise on our feet. I'm sure some of us know it very well. Any member of the choir that knows it very well? Oh, amen. It's been a long time I sang that song. So we are going to sing it together. So if we have a member of the choir that knows this song or somebody who knows this song very well, you can come and join me. Just take that microphone and we are going to sing it. Sing it with with thoughts behind it. I want us to sing it thinking of our situations and circumstances. I want us to sing it beholding the power of God in our lives. I want us to sing it with a purpose. I want us to sing it because we want God to intervene in our lives. Okay.
We all have
cause, oh, in the storms of life, when the clouds unfold their wings of strife, when the strong tides lift and the cables strain, be your anchor, drift off and remain. We have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll. Fast into the rock which cannot move. Grounded firm and deep in the Savior's love. It is safely more till the storms we stand. For this well secured by the Savior's hand. And the cables pass from his heart to mine. Can defy the blood through the strength divine. We have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll. Fast into the rock which cannot move. Grounded firm and deep in the Savior's love. It will firmly hold in the straits of fear. When the breakers told the reef is near, to the tempest break and the wild winds blow, not an angry wind shall about overflow. We have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure where the pillows roll. Fasting to the rock which cannot move. Grounded firm and deep in the Savior's love, it will surely hold in the floods of death. When the waters cold, chill and lifted spread on the rising tide, it can never fail. While our hopes abide within the veil, we have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll. Fasting to the rock which cannot move. Grounded firm and deep in the Savior's love.
Amen. Father, we thank you because you are the anchor for our soul. You are the anchor that cannot move. And you are the anchor that is able to keep our soul. We report that confidence in you this morning. Lord, let there be a manifestation of your goodness towards us in this tabernacle today in Jesus' name. Lord, let every striving force, let every troubled soul, let every disquieted life receive an assurance in you this morning. In the mighty name of Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. This morning we are looking at the anchor for our soul. We are looking at the anchor for our soul. And as I was thinking of this topic, this song came to my mind. And I decided to bring it for us to share this morning. I want us to open our Bibles to Psalm 27. We are looking at the anchor for our soul. Psalm 27, we are going to read verses 13 and 14. Psalm 27, verses 13 and 14. Are we there? Somebody shout hallelujah. If you are there, shout hallelujah. Amen. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. I'll read again. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. The anchor for our soul. We are sharing from what the psalmist wrote. When he got to a point in his life, and he realized something, that there was only one thing that had made a difference in his life. And he decided to openly express himself and said, if not for this one thing, that made a difference in my life, I will not be where I am today. He said, I had fainted. In other words, I will have fainted. I will have been a bygone. I will not be where I am today. I will not be who I am today. If not because of one thing, if not because of something that makes a difference in my life, I will have fainted. When you talk about fainting could mean failure.
Fainting could mean weariness. Fainting could mean giving up. Fainting could mean passing out. Fainting could mean no longer in the race. Fainting could mean not running as strong as you used to run. He said, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. For you and I, what is our soul? What is our hope? What is our joy anchored upon? King David said to himself, I have written it for you and I to remember that there is somebody that makes a difference in somebody's life. That when you put your belief in him, instead of fainting, your strength will be renewed. Instead of giving up, you will be filled with hope. This morning, as I share the word of God with you, I believe that your hope will be renewed in Jesus' name. I believe that God is set to take you to a higher ground in the mighty name of Jesus. There are many things in our lives that may make us faint. I said there are many things that may make us want to faint. That will make us want to get to a state of hopelessness and despair, depression, and giving up. It may be that we even know the Lord and we have known him for so long. And there's something in our lives that we've been praying about. Something we've been praying to God for. And it looks like our prayer is not being answered. The Bible actually says, and I'm not quoting here, it's like an expectation that is long drawn does what to the spirit? It weakens the spirit. It leads to fainting. It shakes the belief system. It makes you question where you are. It actually makes you question who you are sometimes. It makes you question what you believe. When it looks like your prayer is unanswered, David is saying it is time for you to actually believe. To believe. I had believed. If I had not believed, I would have fainted. When it looks like my prayer is not being answered. In Psalm 32 verse 3. He said, when I keep silence, my bone waxes old through my roaring all the day long. Can you understand the paradox there? Can you understand the paradox in what David wrote here? He said, when I keep silence, my bones wax old through my roaring all the day long. David is saying that he keeps silence. But at the same time, he's saying his bone is growing old because it's roaring. In other words, sometimes we are in a situation where we are actually silent. We have no one to talk to. We keep into ourselves things we cannot share with people. Yet, it's eating us up. Yet, our life is full of turmoil. Yes, there is a big noise within us. That was the experience of David. That even though he kept quiet, even though he's not saying anything to anybody, he knew that his life was in turmoil. And I'm telling you, this is one of the things that can make people faint. For most of us, we know that the environment we are in, a lot of us don't have relatives, don't have people around that we can share with. And so you are left to carry the burden by yourself. the burden of whatever you are going through. You have prayed, you have fasted, you have waited on the Lord, and it looks like nothing is happening. And your bone is cracking within you. There's an internal noise within you. The psalmist is saying, these are the kind of things that can cause fainting, a waning of faith. But let me tell you, this morning there's good news for you. I said there is good news for you. You know what? God told me something. He said, if we will pray more, then we will talk to people less. He said, because when you come in prayer to the Lord and you tell him your weakness, he does what? He draws God's mercy. But when the more you talk to people about your weakness, what does he draw? Let me tell you, it becomes something that is used against you. You know, somebody said, he said, the fish will keep out of trouble if only it learns to keep its mouth shut. Praise the Lord. Is that not true? Oh, you've gone fishing before. Those of us who have not been going fishing, if you've been going fishing, if only the fish will just keep its mouth shut sometimes, it will keep out of trouble. But because when it sees something darkly, the next thing it wants to catch it, and it gets into trouble. There's the one we should open our mouth to, and that is the Lord. If you are beginning to question where you stand in him, this morning God wants me to tell you that this is actually the time to begin to cry to him. This is the time to draw strength in his name. Somebody said he's giving us his word, he's giving us his son, he's giving us his name. What else do we want from him? And I'm telling you, it is us. We are the one not making use of the provisions of God. We start to faint also when it looks like the ungodly begin to prosper. And I want to tell you something, that one of the biggest problems we have this day is this. We see everybody physically, as we can see, prospering, doing well. And you begin to ask questions. You say, what is the difference between me and this person who doesn't go to church? How many of us has ever asked before? And say, you know, you get to a point and you begin to say, you know, some people who don't actually say, this person doesn't even, you know, he doesn't even know the Lord. And, you know, it looks like everything is well with him. How many of us? Okay, me, I've done it. Maybe I'm the only culprit. I've been in a situation before, and sometimes I look at life and I say, but look, these people are supposed to be unbelievers. And I'm telling you, that is one of the things that can cause fainting in our journey with the Lord. It is one of the things that can cause fainting. In Psalm 37, verse 1 to 3, the Bible encourages you and I. He said, fret not yourself because of evildoers, neither be envious against those who walk unrighteousness, that which is not upright or right standing with God. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust, lean on, rely on, and be confident in the Lord, and do good. So shall you dwell in the land and feed surely on his faithfulness, and truly you shall be fed. You know something? The Bible said, him that the Lord loves, he will chastise. Praise the Lord. You know, sometimes some things will happen in your life, and you say, this other person, he doesn't even know God, and things are happening. Let me tell you something. God draws us into line. He brings us back into line. Those he loves, he brings them back in line. If only we'll see our circumstance in the context or in which they are. And they can only be understood the way God intends for us to understand them when we start to look at things spiritually. If the only way we measure things is by the physical things we see, then we are going to run from pillar to post.
You may have been running from pillar to post. Today, the Lord will settle your mind in the mighty name of Jesus. I don't know what that thing is in your life. And you have wondered so long. And you think that God has forgotten you. Because you see people who don't even call on God getting blessed. Your mind will stop wondering today in the mighty name of Jesus. He said, fret not yourself. Do not be afraid. Don't get confused. Do not lose focus. Know that I am the Lord. Know that I can do the things I've told you I'm able to do. Let your mind be rest assured. Let your mind be what? Be rest assured that God is more than able. And you know what? It's worse still when you experience an avalanche. Last week, there was an Australian family that went to New Zealand. They experienced an avalanche. I think one of them died. You know what an avalanche is? You know, once you step on the distance and they come crashing, you know, it's like the whole thing that comes, that's from the top, will just come down and pile up on top of that person. And that's the end. Sometimes that's the kind of life we live. It's like not just one thing will go wrong. Everything will start to go wrong. It's like, you know, you touch this area. You say, what have I done wrong? You say, okay. It's as if you are hoping that you get respite. You touch that area and everything will start to go wrong again. You touch that other area and it's just like nothing is working for you. Let me tell you, there are a lot of people whose hearts have fainted because of that. Their belief system becomes shaken as a result of that. But let me tell you, our circumstance is not what dictates whether God be God. Our circumstance is not the one that we enthrone or dethrone God. But let me tell you something, God can dethrone your circumstance. God can do what? He can change your circumstance. God can speak to your circumstance. God can alter your circumstance. The psalmist said, I had fainted unless I had believed. What is your anchor? When things are hard, what is your anchor? What is your reference point when you are confused? I don't know, some of us have probably not been on the farm before. If you ever walked into the bush. People who walk into the bush, you know what they do. When they are going, what do? They will tie something to something, you know, as a signpost. So that when it looks like you are getting lost, you can at least retrace those things and come back. So what is your reference point? What is your anchor? What is it that holds you in place? We need to start to redefine the things that hold us in place. We've gone too far away. Somebody sent an email to me during the week. If we like, I can send it to us. He asked me to go to a website. And I went onto the website. And some people have done very careful calculations. And in the calculation, they say, look, for a culture to sustain itself, the reproduction rate, okay, each family should have at least 3.3 children. Now, I've hung my boot, I've stopped playing. So I told my wife, hey, if not because I've stopped playing, I would have loved to have one more kid. You know? Praise the Lord. He said, look, for a culture to sustain itself, he said, you need 3.3 kids per family to maintain the workforce, to make sure things keep going, you know, the way they are going. He said, otherwise, what happens is that culture will go into extinction. He said, the rate at which people are going, having just one kid, he said, the rate at which people, at which we are going, Christianity will come to extinction. Christianity will not come to extinction in Jesus' name. But what the guy was saying is this. They calculated it. And they looked at the rate at which people in the, what do you call it, in the Mediterranean area, the, what do you call it, Middle East, the rate at which they are having kids, even those in Europe, they found out that a big chunk, a big percentage of this, of some of this country will be taken up by people of other religion. If things continue this way, in the next 20 years, you have some of the countries being made up by 20%. 20%, 30%, even 40%, 50% of people of other religion. It's not just enough to have kids. It's also it's about teaching them the way of the Lord. But the point I'm making is this, is that we have anchored ourselves so much in what the society can provide. So much so in what life can provide. That honestly, we've come to a point that I'm sure many of us, if we have, a lot of people, if they have their way, they don't even want to have any kid. They don't want any responsibility. We buy house, buy car, buy dresses, buy what is nice and so on, and we live, work, and then we die. What is your anchor? What is your reference point? Is Jesus your reference point? I'm probably encouraging somebody this morning. Maybe you and your wife or your husband, you've been arguing, you wonder whether you should have one more or not. I've encouraged you this morning. Praise the Lord. And maybe you are thinking you wait some 2 years. I probably have encouraged you that by next year we should be coming to your house. Praise the Lord. No, but really, what is our reference point? Even if for the sake of the kingdom, one of the things that can make our heart faint is when we listen to anti-faith confessions. And I'm telling you, there are so many anti-faith confessions around us. So many anti-faith confessions in the name of pseudo-intellectualism, in the name of pseudo-philosophy, in the names of pseudo-rationalism. Comes in so many forms, and gradually they are depriving us or taking away from us the things that should be the fabric of life. I was telling us earlier on this morning when we were praying, Peter said to Jesus, "Say, where will I go? Because you have the words of eternal life." There is the word of eternal life. And gradually it's been taken away from us. We are no longer asked to live by faith. We are asked to live by what we see. We are asked to live by what we can feel. We are asked to live by what we can reason out. Faith surpasses, it goes beyond reasoning. And if we are going to follow him and truly follow him and not be limited, we need to take him at his word. What is your anchor? What is your reference point? And I'm telling you, another reason we will faint is when we lack understanding of God. In Psalm 46, verse 10, it says, "Be still and know that I am God." In Matthew chapter 11, verse 12, the Bible says, "For the kingdom suffered violence, and the violent taketh it by force." When we lack understanding of God, when we are supposed to be silent and be still and know that he's God, it is when we become violent. When we lack understanding of God, when we are supposed to be violent and take something and stand on the authority of the word of God, we be silent. When we see
You know, people of Eastern religion, they practice it freely. They share it, they sell it, they tell people about it. That is when we are supposed to speak out, tell people about Jesus Christ. We say, no, that is when we'll be still. But when it comes to something that will accrue to us, that is when we become violent. Jesus says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these shall be added unto you. We need to understand the principles of God so that first thing comes first and last thing comes last. We've been talking about orderliness. We've been talking about obedience to the word of God for the past several weeks. Our hearts will begin to faint when we don't have understanding of the moves of God. And it does not come naturally. It is something that comes by the Spirit of God. And of course, a life where the Spirit of God cannot dwell can never have the understanding of the things of God. And that is why some people miss their time in life. It is when they make a move that they say, oh, it's just finished. Or it is when they say, look, let me pursue it. They say, oh, it's no longer relevant. If only we walk in concert with the Spirit of God and have an understanding of the moves of God. Our hearts often faint when we see more people on the other side. Or when there are giants, people of reputation, that seem to stand against us. Let me tell you something. David said to the people that were standing, he said, let not your heart fail you. In other words, it does not matter who is on the other side. Goliath may be on the other side, but we have a God. He said, we have a God. Because everything that Goliath in your life says is defiling your God. That was David's interpretation. He said, look, what this man is saying is actually attacking who my God is. Sometimes it does not have to be human beings saying something. It could be the circumstance of your life. It could be an illness that somebody has said, look, there's no way you can get out of this. There's no cure for it. It could be that somebody said, look, you are not going to get promoted. It could be that somebody said, look, you cannot make it. Is the giant of your life defiling your God? David said, let no man's heart faint because of this man. Let not your heart faint because of your situation. He said, I had fainted. If I had not believed in God, what is your anchor today? Gideon was in the same situation in Judges chapter 6, verse 15. When the angel of the Lord appeared to him, you know, I like talking about the man Gideon, and told him, look, you are the one who is going to deliver Israel from the Midianites. He said, me? I'm from the tribe of Manasseh, the smallest tribe. Above all, my family is the poorest, is the least endowed in the tribe of Manasseh. So I'm the worst of the worst stock. Nothing good can come out of me, he said. But God said, no, that is not your situation. He said, no, because I know you. You, because you have encountered me. You, because I've chosen to use you as God will choose to use your life. He said, look, because I choose to use you, things have to be different in your life. And I'm telling you, things will be different in your life for good in the mighty name of Jesus. Whatever may look like a mountain, whatever may look unsurmountable, all that needs to do, that needs to happen is you expose it to Jesus. It's going to become a battle between Jesus and that circumstance in your life. And you know what? Jesus always wins. And he will win in your case in the mighty name of Jesus. I said he will win in your case in the mighty name of Jesus. You know, the other thing that makes our heart faint is when what God told you seems to be failing you. Your marriage becomes tumultuous. But you had God before you married that person. He told you that that's the person to marry. It starts to get tumultuous. Even the work you are doing, you know that God was the one who sent you there. And it's beginning to develop cough, headache, stomach pain, leg pain, finger pain, blindness. It may be your business. It may be that you are doing good and you feel that people are always repaying you with bad. Let me tell you something. It does not invalidate God's promises for your life. It does not make the word of God a lie. But let me tell you something. If you persist, you know what? One of the things that God was telling me during the week is this. Gift will open a door for you. When you are gifted, it will open a door for you. But persistence will do what? Will keep the door open. No matter how gifted you may be, it may create an opportunity for you. If you are not persistent, you will fall by the wayside. Let's look at Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. Galatians 6, 9. It's a place we know very well. It says, "And we have therefore opportunity, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith." As we have opportunity, let's continue to do good. And the thing is this, he said, you will reap the reward if you faint not. There is need for persistence in what we do. Even when discouragement comes our way. And of course, we'll faint when we no longer live by faith. And the problem with faith is this. Do you know the problem with faith? The problem with faith is that it's too simple an explanation. It doesn't make sense. It's difficult to tell the story to our friends. You know, how we maneuvered, how we did this, did that to get it. It's too simple. You know, to tell somebody and just say, look, I just believe God, that God will do it. And they say, are you left it to chance? Are you stupid? Are you dumb? Are you whatever? It's too simple an explanation, and that is part of the problem we have. We think it doesn't explain everything. So therefore, it cannot be true. So therefore, we better not try it. We would rather try something that we can easily explain. You know, when I put in that, I did that, and I did that, and I stay up at night, you know, for so long, I did this, I did that, and then we can feel good that we have achieved it. Then we can feel good that our hand, you know, remember King Nebuchadnezzar, he looked around and said, and my hand has built this. We like that. To say, oh yes, and I put in the best, and I did, look, I've never studied like that in all my life. And you know, I did, I just knew I had to clear that exam because, you know, I put in my best. I'm not saying that we shouldn't work. I'm not saying that we shouldn't put in our best. But I'm just letting us know that if we would depend on God, things will be different. For some of us, it's just too simple an explanation. But it's simple enough for God. It pleases God. It's a good enough reason for God. And I'm telling you, when we don't live a life of faith, what happens? We lose spiritual strength. We do what? We lose spiritual strength. Look at Proverbs chapter 24, verse 10. He says, if your strength fails you in the day of adversity, that is the day, that is when we are supposed to exercise our faith. We have to be people, we need to get back to the basics and begin to live like Christians and begin to live like people who depend on God. I will soon finish. I can assure you that I will soon finish. Another thing that makes people faint is rumor. when you begin to hear rumor. And Jesus warned us, said, look, in the last day, there will be rumors and rumors of war. And I know one of the things that destabilizes kids is when there is rumor in their school, when there is something that has been said about somebody, is one of the things that can make people faint. When you hear people say, oh, they said this about you, they had that about you. Let me tell you something. When people say something about you, it's not you who is, it's not only you who is hearing. God is also hearing. He's hearing on your behalf. Sometimes I've told my wife, I say, look, I may not have an answer for you, but God has an answer for you. You may not be there to answer, but God has an answer. He will answer for you. He will answer on your behalf. Don't let your heart faint. What is your anchor? What's your reference point? Somebody said, Abel, Naboth. You remember Naboth? Naboth's vineyard. We read about that. Naboth's vineyard. He said, they both died before the Lord avenged them. But let me tell you something. When you cry to the Lord, he's able to arise for your sake. While you are alive, God will fight for you. I say God will fight for you in the mighty name of Jesus. The psalmist talks about seeing his goodness in the land of the living. When you look at that Psalm 27, 13 and 14. Right now, here now, while you are alive, that the Lord will arise for your sake. He can arise before disaster happens. He can come in when it is most important that he comes in. But what thing is important is that we must hold a faith in the goodness of God. We must have faith that the God we serve is good. We say it, our God is a good God. We must know that his thought towards us, they are of good, they are not of evil, to bring us to a perfect ending. It does not matter what we see right now. It still has not changed the thought of God concerning you. In Isaiah chapter 40, verse 29 to 31, in closing, Isaiah 40, 29 to 31. I want us to just share that. It says, he gives power to the faint and weary. And to him who has no might, he increases strength, causing it to multiply and making it to abound. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and selected young men shall feebly stumble and fall exhausted. But those who wait for the Lord, who expect, look for, and hope in him, shall change and renew their strength and power. They shall lift their wings and mount up close to God as eagles mount up close to the sun. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint or become tired. If God becomes our anchor, we begin to excel where other people have failed. We begin to excel where we are not given any chance of succeeding at all. So that when people actually look at what is happening, they say, look, this one has a 90% chance of making it. That one has 99% chance of making it. You have only 5% chance of making it. And you know what? You prove bookmakers wrong. The one with 5%, we outdo the one with 99% chance of making it. Only God can do it. And he will do it in your life. But who is your anchor? And what is your anchor? We have an anchor that keeps the soul. It's steadfast and sure where the billows roll. It's fastened to the rock which cannot move. It's grounded firm and deep in the love of Jesus.
That is our anchor. Can we just rise up this morning as we share of the Lord's Supper? We have an anchor. Jesus is that anchor. It is deep in his love. When you look at stanza 3 or stanza 2, I like the second to the last line of the song we sang. He said, and the cables is passed from his heart to mine. The cable of your sustenance is passed from the heart of Jesus to your heart this morning. We are going to eat with the Lord this morning. So I want us to pray. Just ask God, say, Father, as I eat with you this morning, let it be a life-changing experience for me. You have an anchor. Are you looking for a job? Anchor your hope in the Lord this morning. Are you waiting for something to happen in your life? Anchor your hope in the love in the Lord this morning. Is the world against you? And your only chance of making it is the Lord. Look, anchor your hope in him this morning as you eat and dine with the King of Kings. Touch us one more time, oh Lord. Father, touch me now. Touch us one more time, oh Lord. Lord, I need a touch. I need a touch from the Master. I need a touch from the Lord. Touch me one more time, oh Lord. Lord, I need a touch. I need a touch from the Master. I need a touch from the Lord. Touch us one more time, oh Lord. Lord, I need a touch. I need a touch from the Master. I need a touch from the Lord. Touch us one more time, oh Lord. I want you to pray to the Lord as you partake of the Lord's Supper. Ask that God will use it to touch your life today. I want you to join your faith with mine and ask that God will touch you in a way he has never touched you before. This is not just going to be a routine exercise. It's a faith thing. It's a faith thing. I want you to join your faith with me and just reach on to the Lord this morning that God will touch you. That area of your life where you want God, the Lord to touch you, I want you to begin to speak to the Lord. Father, Lord Jesus, this will raise unto you. This is your body and this is your blood, oh Lord. Let everyone who has joined faith with me this morning, Lord, for a touch from you, oh Lord, that indeed you will touch them. Is it their life? Is it their wife? Is it their husband? Is it their children? Is it their job? Is it their health? Whatever it is in their life, oh Lord, that they join faith with me to believe you for this morning, let it come to pass in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Touch me one more time, oh Lord. Please, when you take, you can eat the bread, please keep the wine. Eat the bread, but please keep the wine. Oh. Touch me one more time, oh Lord.
I need a touch from the Master. I need a touch from the Lord.
From the Master,
I need a touch from the Lord. touch me one more time. Pass me not too gentle to say behavior.
Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink of his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your father did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, let's drink in unison. I want you to begin to commit your ways to the Lord. Commit your life to him. Begin to speak to the Lord. Begin to speak to him. Begin to speak to the Lord. Begin to speak to him. Begin to speak to him concerning that area of your life. And I want to let you know that there will be testimony to follow. I want to let you know that there will be testimony to follow. Because our faith is anchored in the Lord Jesus, who is the Lord of all situations. He is the one that speaks to the sea and says, be still, and it becomes still. He speaks to the wave, and the sea and the waves obey him. Speak to him. Speak to him. He's able to speak to every situation in your life. He's able to make impossibility possible. His name is Jesus. 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 There is power in that name. There is authority that comes with that name. There is power in that name. Speak to the Lord this morning. Speak to him. Speak to him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you because your word is here and is amen. Let it be that everyone that has eaten with you and has drank of your blood this morning will receive an impartation given by your spirit. Lord, let impossibility start to become possible. Let a life of faith become our way of life. Have your way, O Lord, that the glory might be given to you. Have your way, O Lord, for your name's sake, O Lord, and for your glory's sake. Have your way in every life here. Thank you, Father. Father, I present the request of your children to you, and I seal it with the blood of Jesus. Because Jesus, you are the yea, you are the amen. You are the way, the truth, and the life. Every power belongs to you. Father, I seal it with the blood of Jesus. Heaven, you witness this day. As to the request of your people, you make it good today in the mighty name of Jesus. Because they have cared to call upon you, to hold on to you. Father, prove yourself in every life here. Let testimony follow in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, King of Glory. In Jesus' wonderful, mighty name we pray. Can we share the grace in fellowship? May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with us now and forevermore. Amen. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives, and we shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen.